This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 179 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. I would say that 90% of the trade offers that people ask me about are same position for same position trades. They're trades that involve a straight-up swap of one wide receiver for another, or they're often trades that deal with same-tiered players at running back and wide receiver. Essentially, they're uncreative trades where there's going to be a loser. If you trade Joe Mixon straight up for Kareem Hunt, someone is losing. It's not helping both teams. And trades are there to help both teams. But not only that, anyone who can confidently say they'd pick one side in a lot of these trades is just straight up lying to you. There's not a whole lot of a difference between Kareem Hunt and Joe Mixon. I'm looking at both players, and neither of them stands out as a must-have over the other. Maybe you see it, but I don't. And that's the thing. I get these questions, and when you consider variance, and when you consider all the things that can happen to a player in a situation, it's really easy to not have strong opinions on one versus the other. If you were getting Kareem Hunt for Carlos Hyde, sure, do that trade. Your goal in fantasy football is to win, not just make fair deals so that every team in your league is good. But in most cases, the Kareem Hunt manager isn't going to give him up for Carlos Hyde. The deal will have to be relatively close in order for it to get done. And the best way to make a close, meaningful deal is to not just swap players who play the same position. The best way to get something done is to look where you have an excess supply and use that supply to fill the needs of other teams. Make the deal a win-win. I feel like some listeners get a little upset when I throw up my arms and I say, I have no preference. But I'm not going to respond back to a trade of Kareem Hunt for Joe Mixon and say, yeah, do that deal if I don't actually believe in one side of that deal. My job is to be real with you guys and help you win, not to take a stand just to take a stand. I'm bringing this up because the fantasy football world needs to be better at designing trades. Stop trying to upgrade through same position for same position deals unless you know you're getting a steal. Be thoughtful and creative. It'll help you build a much better roster. We've got some good questions on today's mailbag show, but before we get into it, I wanted to let you guys know about a weekly free play over on FanDuel where you can win FanDuel points and NumberFire premium subscriptions. Last week's winner was What's Your Dog's Name? And for the record, my dog's name is Henry. And What's Your Dog's Name? Had Jameis Winston, Todd Gurley, James Conner, and Tyler Boyd to put them over the top. You can join this week's contest by going to FanDuel.com/league/gym. That's FanDuel.com/league/JIM. This first question is from @JustinWhiteVA. In your weekly transactions pod, you often include a look at the next month or so of the schedule. Do you have transactions in mind for people with their eye on weeks 14 through 16 now that we are halfway through the season and its trends? So this is obviously subject to change because that's looking pretty far into the future. But I do try to keep up with which players have favorable playoff schedules as the season goes on, because there's at least some advantage there. There's some advantage to doing that. And as you noted, we have a better idea today about matchups than we did when we were drafting our teams. I think the easiest way to answer this is to give you guys some teams who may have easier schedules in weeks 14 through 16, and then maybe just briefly mention a guy or two from those teams. So here are a few teams who jumped out at me. First, you've got Denver, who's facing San Francisco in week 14, Cleveland in week 15, and Oakland in week 16. That should be decent for someone like Emmanuel Sanders. Chicago's also pretty interesting. They get the Rams in week 14, the Packers in week 15, and then the 49ers in week 16. Those matchups should benefit the whole offense. The Giants get Washington, Tennessee, and Indianapolis, so I could see Saquon Barkley finishing the season off really strong. And then Carolina gets Cleveland, New Orleans, and Atlanta. That's amazing. There's a chance that we see some Panthers as buys in next week's 15 transactions column and podcast. And then Ben Roethlisberger will go through a stretch against Baltimore, Carolina, Jacksonville, Denver, and then the Chargers. But in the fantasy playoffs, the Steelers get Oakland, New England, and New Orleans. So if you have the spot, you should try to keep Ben Roethlisberger on your roster. And Baltimore is kind of interesting too. In week 14, they get the Chiefs, and then in week 15, they get the Bucks. As of right now, it's hard to find a better two-game matchup than that. So those are a few teams that really jumped out to me. The Broncos, Bears, maybe the Giants, the Panthers, the Steelers, and the Ravens. This next question is from @IndolentRecords. How do you weigh opportunity when setting lineups? Like, Callaway will continue to see tons of targets because of limited options. But in the Ravens' crowded wide receiver corps, for example, do we give John Brown, etc., an edge because they've capitalized on their opportunities? This is one of those questions that's really impossible to answer with a blanket statement. Every decision that you make from a start-sit standpoint weighs a lot of different factors. Not everything is simply about opportunity, when that opportunity can come in many different forms. Like, we know a player with a low average depth of target who's seeing looks is less valuable than a player with a high average depth of target who's seeing the same number of looks, or even less volume. We know that quarterback play is important, that a 20% target share on the Bills is far different than a 20% target share on the Saints. This is why we're analyzing things like plays run at the team level, or overall offensive efficiency, or red zone usage, or air yards. There are tons of things you look at when you're deciding between two players in a start or sit dilemma. If you're truly faced with a tie and a start-sit choice and you don't know what to do, my tiebreaker is generally picking the player whose team is projected to score more points. If I have no clue who to start, that's the route that I generally go. This next question is from @Lincoln_Jake. How do you value Corey Davis rest of season in half PPR? So a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned Corey Davis as a risky buy in my 15 transactions column because all of the peripherals are there for Corey Davis. He's being used at a really high rate, it's just that the Titans offense sucks. So he's pretty much a wide receiver 3 with wide receiver 1 upside if they can get it together. And the good news is that Tennessee will be getting out of their tough stretch of defenses faced after Week 8's bye. And I'm sort of hoping that that Week 8 bye will help them a lot. But after the bye, they'll get Dallas, New England, Indy, and Houston. He's definitely less of a buy right now because Tennessee hasn't shown much life after that Philadelphia game, but if you want a flyer on your bench who has legit wide receiver 1 upside if things click, I still think that he's someone to target. This next question is from @816podcastingc. Why do leagues still continue to use kicker and defenses? I don't think defenses and kickers are as bad as people make them out to be. There are plenty of predictive things to look at with both positions, and casual fantasy managers don't recognize those things. I'm in home leagues and local leagues where people are plugging and playing the same kicker and defense each and every week. So from that perspective, I want there to be kickers and defenses. But if you're in a competitive league where everyone knows to stream the positions, there's definitely less of an edge to be had. This next question is from @TrivTello. Seriously wondering if Jameis won't throw to Evans, based on last season. Thanks. So this season, we have 61 Jameis Winston attempts, and on those attempts, Mike Evans has 10 targets, good for a 16% target share. But we're also working with a really small sample here. Last season, Winston threw 442 passes, and Evans saw 104 of those targets. That's a 23.5% target share. With Ryan Fitzpatrick this season, Evans had a 26.3% share. So yeah, it was a little bit higher than what we've seen from Winston, but I have a hard time looking at last year's 23.5% share that Evans had with Winston and saying that there's an issue, especially since Evans was banged up at times throughout last year. And then we can't just ignore the fact that Evans had almost a 30% target share in 2016 with Jameis Winston under center. He just didn't have much competition for targets that year, and now he does. I just don't think any lack of Mike Evans targets is really a Jameis Winston problem. It's just that they've got other weapons, and they didn't have those weapons back in 2016. This next question is from @SprinklerGeek. If you had to pick up one back, is it Ito Smith or Jalen Richard? So this is a really good question. I really like both of them as players. You guys know that I'm an Ito Smith truther, but Jalen Richard is a really talented running back too. As of this recording, the news surrounding Marshawn Lynch is that he's getting an MRI on his groin, so I have no idea how long he'll be out. Because of that, because we don't know, the answer has to be Ito Smith. As I talked about on the matchup show yesterday, Smith is probably going to see 40 to 50% of Atlanta's snaps consistently from here on out without Devontae Freeman in that lineup. The thing is, Smith is sort of in this giant bucket of low-end RB2s or high-end RB3s right now. Atlanta's running game hasn't been very good despite the offense scoring a lot of points. In fact, in PPR formats, they rank 23rd in team running back points per game scored this year. I think you could easily make the argument that Jalen Richard has more upside if Marshawn Lynch does miss significant time. And the main reason is because there's a lot less depth at receiver for Oakland when compared to Atlanta, so Richard has an opportunity to see a lot of work through the air, or at least more than Ito Smith. And we've already seen Richard crush it in the receiving game when Oakland's been in negative game scripts, which has been often. And the reason I'm high on Rashard if this Marshawn Lynch injury is serious is because he'll become a lot less game script dependent. Doug Martin will probably take on a lot of Lynch's early down work, but I'd imagine we see more rushes from Rashard, and we could even see some rushes close to the goal line when all of those were Lynch's before. But then if Oakland trails, Rashard is going to be the dude, which is what he's been so far this season. So going into a game, you might feel a lot more confident playing Jalen Rashard than you might Ito Smith, who's just straight up splitting the backfield with Tevin Coleman, all while not seeing all that much work through the air. So I would be adding Jalen Rashard everywhere this week, even though they've got a bye. And if you need someone as purely an upside play and don't need production from someone like Ito Smith, I actually might prefer Rashard. It could come back to bite you if Lynch's injury isn't all that serious, but I do think he has more upside. This last question is from @halfbaked_takes. What is your favorite part of fantasy? Draft, waivers, trade, projection, or something else? And why? The answer is all of it. I'm obsessed with this game. Hopefully you guys can tell in these podcasts, but there's no way I'd want to do this as my job if I was not obsessed. But I would probably say the draft is my favorite part, as it is for everyone, but I really enjoy the long-term strategy of season long. That's why my 15 transactions column is the most thoughtful thing that I create each week. It's really just a brain dump of all the strategic moves I'm thinking about in my head in order to build the ultimate roster. And then I love how fantasy football just brings people together. Might be a lame answer, but I like that I can go anywhere and find someone who wants to talk fantasy football. That's a really cool thing. And it opens up conversation with friends and family in your league. I love that aspect of things. I mean, I lost a matchup last season in my home league, and I had to eat 3 pieces of cake at my buddy's wedding in 30 seconds because of it. It was the only acceptable time for a grown man to pig out at a wedding like that. And no, you will not see the video evidence of that happening. That's going to be it for today's show, though. Thanks to everyone for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And make sure you're following me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your weekend, and good luck in week 7.